This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, company live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What's going on? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Coast to coast, nationwide, 3 hours every single day, Monday through Friday. 1-855-212-4227, our number. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, Sirius XM Channel 206. All of our great affiliates getting ready to head down to San Antonio for the Final Four right after the show, is going to be a lot of fun, Tiki. What's happening, buddy?
It's not going to be a lot of fun. The trip will be fun, but the hustling out of here to get out to JFK is not going to be that much
fun. That's okay.
I always have trouble packing for trips like this because it's a short trip.
Because you're a diva, that's why. Because you got to bring nine scarves and five handkerchiefs and three jackets.
That's the problem. Only one jacket. That's the one I'm wearing. And we're not on CBS Sports Network this week, so I'm not wearing a jacket.
Okay.
Unless I decide to wear this one day because I feel like churching up a T-shirt.
What did the Argyle socks get you this time? Something that'll throw a wrinkle into your pack and your bag?
No, it's going to be about 80-something degrees.
86 degrees tomorrow.
86 degrees.
Yep.
And obviously, I have free time because our show's in the afternoon. I'm going to go for a run.
Okay. And I'm going to go to Top Golf or a casino.
Nice.
Yeah, Top Golf.
Top Golf is sweet.
Am I changing your mind? You want to hit pause on that running plan yet?
But I'm gonna go for a run early.
Okay.
It'll be before you're awake, probably.
No,
but
sure
I'm thinking to myself, man, do I actually want to go run outside when it's 80-something degrees and I've been running in like 40 degrees.
Yeah,
it's,
the answer for me would be yeah.
I think yes.
Well, you think it's going to be too hot?
It's going to be too hot because I need to do a long run. I need to do like a 15-plus mile run.
Mm.
And I'm worried I'm not going to wake up in time. By the time I wake up, it's going to be 78, 90, 80, 85 degrees.
Yeah.
And then I'm only going to get like 4 miles and I'm going to feel disappointed. So that was my
this
struggle.
This is what you think about
this
when
is
you
what
pack.
I This was my struggle when I was packing today.
Wow. Oh, my God.
But now that you mentioned Top Golf, I might just
Women have heels. This guy has to worry about
my
where he's going
to
run.
I have to worry about my New Balances.
What neon pair of shoes and running sleeve and all these other cool gadgets that you have.
You're right.
My God. You know what I worry about when I'm going away?
What's that?
Not much. I do have a tendency to overpack, though, but only because, like, when you go to something like Minnesota for the Super Bowl, you want to have a fair balance. I get it. I mean, I'm messing around with you. It can't be a challenge because you want to bring a couple sports coach. Like, if I go out to dinner, go out to dinner a few nights, if I go to a casino, if I do this, I want to. But because we're not on TV, we don't have the simulcast tomorrow and Friday, that changes it. So I just brought a couple of pair of jeans, a couple of pair of T-shirts, my sneakers, a nice golf shirt in case I go hit some balls.
That's
or whatever.
Ultimately what I did.
And that's it.
And I also had zero desire to pack a bag.
Yeah, I am not. I can't stand packing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I'm also the kind of person where no matter what time I get home, I'm neurotic. I'm not neurotic with much. I'm neurotic with two things. Shaving my head. Mm-hmm. Like when it begins to stubble in, I get uncomfortable. Like I've got to just shave it. So I basically shave it every day. Or every other day at the most here. But the other thing is when I get in from a trip, whether it's an overnight, like if I'm away for St. John's or Jen and I are away at bed and breakfast, whatever, away for the holidays with the family, whatever it is, or a business trip, the moment I walk in the door, I got to unpack. Mm. I can't just throw my bag down. Like I've got to arrange things like these are dirty. This has to go to the cleaners. This gets back hung back up in the closet. These shoes go. That's the only thing I'm neurotic about.
You're very different from me. My bag.
That is it.
When was the last trip we took? We tripped
Minnesota. Super Bowl.
My bag is still not fully unpacked from that trip.
Is that true?
It's sitting in my closet. It's open, and most of the stuff is out, but there's still some stuff.
Well,
I
mean, that's really bougie. You know what you're really saying is what you're really telling America is I've got so many options.
No,
that's what he's saying.
It's just I'm lazy.
D-cell. Isn't that what he's saying?
That's not what I'm
saying. That's what he's saying.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm saying.
You're not trying to say that, but that's what you are communicating.
I just pick it out of the bag.
I've got so many stylish options that I was there in the first week of February.
Yes.
It's almost April, and I have it over my bag. I'll get
Samter
around to it.
Samter said it right. He said, it sounds like you're lazy. That's exactly right.
Yeah, of course he is kissing you behind as always. I'll get around around to it on the 4th of July. Then I'll unpack.
Hold on. I just called them lazy. How is that not? How is that kissing his behind?
I don't know. That's my stock answer for you.
Seriously, like the day that I get home from a trip, I'm unpacked and put my stuff in the laundry. Like that
you're
moment.
So you're the same as I.
Yeah. Maybe the next morning if it's a late flight. But a month? You
yeah,
serious?
That is yeah. kind of. I'm surprised Tracy doesn't get on you for that.
She has her own closet.
Oh, here we go. She's got her own wing.
Is there still dirty clothes in there? Like, that's
no,
gross.
No, no, no.
Just
no.
the clean stuff.
Just the clean stuff that I haven't worn. So instead of just putting it away, I just pick it out of the bag if I need it. Tracy has her own, like, bathroom and closet and everything else.
Yeah, I hear you. All right.
You'll see this once you get in suburbia.
Yeah, October's the plan, brother. The long wind down.
Proud of you.
Thank the Lord. Thank God it's over. Yeah, we'll be moving it around October. So that is a burden that your partner has carried
for
literally 2 years.
I know.
Looking at homes in the mm-hmm. Northeast. It's not easy, but Jen found this a gem, and I couldn't be more excited. So I appreciate you saying that, man. We're really pumped up. All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour. Obviously, we're on the road right after the show, so we'll bounce out of here quickly. We've got the blast. We'll do that in the second hour rather than the third hour, but we will do football at the 40s. J.K. McKay as well. The director of football operations for the Alliance of American Football will stop by, get his thoughts on the new venture mm-hmm. that you and I talked about a couple of days ago. But, of course, Major League Baseball begins tomorrow, so we'll throw some thoughts on the table about that. But we start with an NFL rules change that I think is going to bother a lot of people.
Yep.
A lot of people.
Agreed.
This is going to be a problem. While I understand the desire and the motivation to implement this immediately, at the end of the day, I actually think this causes more problems for
football. Yeah, it
really
does. This is the targeting rule expanded from what it already was. It used to be defenseless player. You hit a guy when he's compromised, then you're going to get a 15-yard penalty. But now they've changed this rule. As you can see it if you're watching the network here, Rule 12, Section 2, Article 8. If the player lowers his head to initiate contact, this is any lowering of the head and any contact, regardless if the player is defenseless, there will be the assessment of a 15-yard penalty, and there is the potential that the player could be disqualified.
Oh,
so that's the big thing, BT.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Look, I understand.
That's the problem.
Because you know what? A star, whoever it is, I can't think of who one off the top of my head. Let's say Vontaze Burfict, even though he's suspended. But whoever, a linebacker is
say
going
J.J.
to.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt's going to get compromised, tripped up, or in an awkward position, but he's desiring to make this tackle, his head's going to go down, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make contact. He's going to get a 15-yard penalty, which is going to adversely affect the play, even if the hit wasn't egregious or bad. And then he might get ejected as well.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that starts happening to some of the stars of the league,
you're going to kill the league
in the first quarter.
Duh. Imagine a month Sunday night game.
Agreed.
Imagine a Sunday night game.
I understand the intent of this.
I do, too.
I do, because it's a safety thing.
Sure.
But it's going to take another generation before, fundamentally, players that have been playing for 5, 6 or so years start hitting with their heads up, hitting with their shoulders. You know, the thing that they do for the youth football, and NFL has a big program for youth about heads-up contact and – you know, some teams start, you know, leading with your shoulder as opposed to your head. But the guys that are there that have been doing it a certain way for, you know, as long as they've been playing football, you can't help it sometimes. Your head just goes down and you end up making contact with your head because it guarantees that you're hitting what you're targeting.
If anybody's curious, the play where Ryan Shazier was hurt, that play would fall under the new rule to kind of give you a real-life example. I want to read something real quick. Then I want to pick this apart a little bit. Under the change, and some of this Tiki said, but there's something that I want to connect on here. The player's going to be penalized 15 yards, potentially ejected anytime he lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. Now, it will apply to tacklers,
mm-hmm.
ball carriers.
Yes. And by the way, this has been in place for ball carriers
exactly.
already.
And it's never called.
I've
never seen it called once.
They say this about running backs. Like, running backs can't initiate contact.
That's all they do.
Of course it's all they do, because it's the only advantage that they have. They're usually bigger bodies than like a safety. The way that they run through a safety is stick their head through them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You get more force that way.
Even worse, this will also include linemen.
What?
This will include linemen. And it will take the place of the previous rule that limited the penalty to contact with the crown of the helmet.
BT, they can call this every single play.
But this is why this is a real dangerous
mm-hmm.
This is a real dangerous decision, because now will the referees have the latitude to convert or to switch? Like, if they initially throw the flag and
like a reviewable.
Going to be the process of determining what's a 15-yard penalty and what's an ejection? Like how much time is that going to take?
I don't know,
because there's the issue of losing the stars.
Yes,
but there's also the issue of lengthening the game, which was a real topic of discussion and a real source of ire a year ago.
Which is what you see in the NCAA. We see this in college football when the targeting rule is thrown, the targeting flag is thrown in college football, and it's a hit to the head. They immediately stop the game and they go look at it and they determine whether or not that player should be ejected from the game. Sometimes it's quick. Other times it's not.
Yep.
Right? And for a penalty that, as I just said, you could call almost every single play, this could slow the game down significantly. Now, maybe they're just going to look at the egregious examples, the ones where it's more like a spear, like you're spearing somebody as opposed to just, you know, accidentally getting your head down. But that's so subjective. You're putting so much more pressure on referees, and they already have a burdensome job in getting the right calls anyway.
That's a great point. I thought, listen, the goal is to always get it right and enhance the viewing, you know, the viewing experience for the audience here. But I thought we were trying to eliminate the pressure and make their job easier and ease the tension and the vitriol that a lot of these referees feel. Granted, it's a byproduct of the job. I mean, it is what it is. Like, the byproduct of our job, if we're not interesting, we're not on the air very long. And we understand that.
We
get that. So the byproduct of being a referee is you're going to get booed.
Yeah.
And
you
got to
have hard decisions.
You got to have thick skin.
You're right.
But the more you create where there's an element of subjectivity, it's a dangerous road. And here's – I want to – this is going to seem like a crazy example. But when we first started to really truly probe – into the depths of concussions, the sub-concussions.
Yeah.
You know, there was a thought that, you know, it's that boom, that real hard. That's the first, that's
the
what
massive
we all thought.
The one that knocks you out.
The highlight-inducing pop over the middle, you know, safety, wide receiver, boom, just crushed and laid out. And that's obviously part of it. The other part is, you know, you hit your head on the turf. Mm-hmm. The other part is when your brain gets jarred and the stem of your brain is temporarily disconnected from the tissue, and it just kind of bounces around, for lack of a better description, around the shell of the brain, subconcussions. Now, what are they going to – if that's the case, and that's all medically proven, when do they get rid of the stiff arm? If you're chasing me – no, I mean, like, I know that sounds crazy, but this is where we're going. If you're chasing me, or you're the running back, I'm chasing you, and you've got the ball – And you mush me,
and by the way,
head goes
and it's
boom.
not a mush all
and
the time.
And it's aggressive. It's exactly.
That's what I mean. It's not a mush.
It's almost like a punch.
It's not like the static Heisman pose.
Exactly.
It is a punch.
It's a forceful pushback.
It's an open-handed punch. That's exactly what it is.
When you would give a guy a stiff arm, can you replicate how hard
I mean, it's like
– I mean, you're
hit
them.
Because otherwise your force is going to drive into me. So you have to hit hard. You have to.
Which is my point.
You're right.
I mean,
and
so
most of those
really
are to the head. You don't stiff arm a body unless you got, like, ape arms. You don't stiff arm someone's body because it's too far away, right? Their arms can get to you.
Exactly.
Have to stiff arm their head.
Yeah.
That's a good – I mean, ever think
about
that? I'm
just curious about this. I don't know what's next
here.
And
you see this sometimes. You see running backs, like, especially the really aggressive ones. They just – I mean, they're, like, punching.
Oh, yeah.
They're punching.
Yeah. They're looking to lay out.
And sometimes you're like, oh, that's a penalty. Call the foul, you know, offensive, whatever. But there has been no call for that. But that's – your. I could see that coming next.
Wow.
Imagine
the NFL, no stiff arm. Football without a stiff arm. Think about this, too. And we'll get a break here. But I this is important, too. And as much as we question how this will play out and probably lead to more questions than answers, this number is frightening, and I understand why the movement is here. So the NFL, as we know, the concussion ratio this year basically doubled. And they found out that nearly one of every two helmet-to-helmet hits caused a concussion. They were able to extrapolate that from all the concussions and all the hits. For every two times helmets hit, one time there was a concussion out of that collision, which is up from the ratio of one of every three times in 2015.
Wow.
So the violence and the residual damage is exponentially increasing, which led to, quote, a call to action. So I understand that. I'm all about being progressive and, you know, trying to find something that you can, you know, that might not be universally accepted early because it kind of goes against the barbaric nature of the game, but will lead to a safer place down the road. But this still seems very, very, this seems anti-football.
Yeah.
As much as you have to protect people.
That's a good point.
This is going to be a problem.
I agree.
People are going to hate this.
You're right.
You could just see it coming.
Just wait till your favorite player gets ejected. In the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Or what happens if it happens late? Will there be a carryover? Because in college, think about this. If it happens, right?
Yeah.
In the second half, there's a carryover to the next game.
You're suspended for the first half of the next game.
So there's a lot to sort through. Big picture, I get it. But there's a lot to critique, yeah. And you just heard a few of ours. 1-855-212-4227. All right, you're the football fan. You heard about this new rule. It's in. It's happening. What do you expect in real time? What will this do to our viewing next season? Do you like this? Do you understand this? Or do you just really, truly oppose this? We'll get your reaction coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing, knowing when to plan the play and knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines, making a plan and executing it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part, but you're not in a position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping cost, returns are easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's easy, and you know that what you want will be there. Saves you time in the store as well. The shipping game begins when you say it begins and ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, 23 minutes past the hour here on a Wednesday, getting ready to go down to San Antonio tomorrow. Tonight we'll go, and we'll be there tomorrow doing our show. Thursday and Friday, Final Four is rapidly approaching. Before you know it, the Masters will be here. This is, like I've always said, you and I have been working together a while now. I'm very conflicted as to what my favorite part of the year is. It's either this or it's October when you have football, full throat, World Series, basketball's around the corner. But right now, man, MLB opening day tomorrow for 30 of the 32 teams. The Reds are postponed with weather already.
Against the Nats.
Against the Nationals there. So we won't see Bryce Harper, who is homered. He homered in... I want to say 2013. He's homered in four opening days, Bryce Harper has.
That's pretty damn good.
He's homered in four, so we'll see if he makes it number five. But between Major League opening day and obviously the Final Four and the Masters, which is great for all of us here at CBS and great for everybody who loves golf.
Tiger's the favorite, right?
Tiger is right there. He's co-favorites.
Yeah.
Rory's got some nice odds in his favor.
Vegas
as well.
Doesn't want to take a bath, that's all.
Boy, I can't wait. And we will be all over that. You know, Teak and I will spend a lot of time on Augusta. But, you know, the story, and we'll get to these calls here. You guys are lighting it up, so we want to certainly hear what you think. The real-life example, with the 15-yard penalty and a possible ejection for lowering the head to make a hit, it was a recommendation, and not that it's, like, talked about and maybe put into the rule book next year. They were implored to put it in now.
Yeah.
They were put it in now and deal with the consequences. The problem is... And the real-life example would be, let's see. Let's say the Raiders are 4-2. Let's say the Chiefs are 5-1. Mm-hmm. Let's say they're playing an Arrowhead or the Coliseum on a Thursday night, right? And it's the primetime game or even Sunday night. They're both legitimate. Gruden's there. Mahomes is throwing BBs. They're both destined for the playoffs. 5 minutes into the game, Khalil Mack does something that's not egregious, but under the new... construction of the rules, the new interpretation, which is behind me if you're watching this on TV, it's a questionable, subjective call, and they boot him. Yeah. And he's thrown out of the game.
You're right. And it changes the complexion of that defense.
And then the game, and then the season.
Yes.
Quite possibly.
Of course. And so that's what you got to think about. I don't know if they did think about that. But
well, they had to have.
BT, how can you? Because you're creating a subjective, in the moment, in the heat of the moment, interpretation for officials who we know aren't perfect. You know what I mean? They can't get the little things right? Much less something as big and
Because we complicate the little things.
Oh, that's what I mean.
And this little thing would be a catch.
I agree.
Think about how complex that is.
But they fixed that,
For the most part.
They fixed that, except for now we're going to have more fumbles.
For the most part.
As we said a couple of weeks ago.
For the most part.
Yes.
It's just, listen, I'm all for if somebody throws something in the stands, if somebody hits a referee, if somebody does something, again, egregious.
Yeah.
Take a shower.
It's hard for me. In college, I mean, maybe I get it, but I really don't. But I'll say I'll get it because it's college and who cares. But in the NFL, I mean, how can you penalize a guy for playing the game?
That is the root of this debate.
Yes. He's playing the game like he's always played the game. If at some point he gets, I don't know, his neck could be tired. He puts his head down to make a tackle. He can be ejected. It doesn't make sense.
We're starting to see that safety is beginning to supersede the game, which I understand on some level, but on another level,
changes the game.
It does. Let's get Chris, who's down in Myrtle Beach. He wanted to check in on the new rule, and Chris is on Teak and Tierney. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good, man. What do you got?
What's up, Chris?
I'm just calling, you know. I'm a diehard Bills fan, and, you know, the rule change and stuff like that, I'll always watch the Bills, you know. It's just how it is in the upstate New York. But at what point, I feel like they're just trying to make football not football. And, you know, Tiki, I love you to death, man, but you knew the risk going into it.
Of course.
And I feel like they all know the risk into it. And I feel like you guys are, you know, on the same side as I am. I don't get how they can try to make football not football.
Look,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a couple conversations that I've had with some retired guys, and most of them will say, given the risk, even some of the guys who have had like knee replacements or hip replacements, and the you know, all the physical ailments that come with playing the game. Yeah, I ask them, like, do you regret playing? They're like, no. It was one of the greatest times of my life. Made a good living, et cetera. So it's hard to sit here and say, you know, these guys aren't aware. Now, the modern player who's been hearing about the dangers of concussions and all these other things and say we're in high school maybe have a different interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or those guys like Corey Widmer, who we talked about yesterday, my former Giant teammate who declined the Montana State Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, because he said football destroyed his life. He's dealing with a lot of issues, you know, mental and emotional and CTE type related issues. He hates the game, but that's the extreme. Most of us aren't that extreme, and you wouldn't trade it. And you were aware of it. Like I mean, how do you know that getting knocked out is not? You know, that's not good for you, right? But you still would go play the game. I think this falls into that line. The NFL is trying to make it safer, but I think a lot of these guys, they understand that it's a not safe sport anyways, and they're still willing to do it.
By the way, Chris, who just called in from Myrtle Beach, is a big Bills fan. Prayers to to Jim Kelly, who's undergoing surgery today to hopefully kill off the cancer that's returned. So, of course, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. God bless you, man. That guy is a fighter. He is just a warrior.
Yeah, he never gives up on this.
And he never will. We're praying for you, big man. Get through it okay. Elliot's in New Jersey. Elliot's on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Elliot? How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Good,
man. What's up, man?
So I played football in high school and college. I've been a coach for the last 12 years, and all that we've ever taught as a, you know, I'm a defensive coordinator. All I've ever taught my high school players is to tackle with their heads up, lead with the shoulders. We had to take a training a few years ago about heads up tackling, and we have to read the warning label on the back of the helmet that says, you know, you can't use this as a spear or a weapon. It could be subjected to injury or death. But the problem is there is a natural instinct that when you're about to get blasted by somebody in football, you kind of cringe up and you kind of go into that fetal position to protect yourself. So I feel like this rule is actually going to end up causing more injuries because now guys are going to be more exposed on the field. They're going to be more vulnerable to getting whacked, and it's going to probably lead to more, you know, shoulder, neck, and maybe even back injuries because people aren't going to be protected.
Yeah, Samter and BT said that same thing. Elliot, here's the thing. Here's the other thing. If you're skiing and you're about to go in, you're going to do the same thing. It's not just football.
If you're skiing?
Skiing. And you're about to hit something, you duck.
I just throw myself on the ground. I'm a terrible skier. I've only gone like three times.
I never learned how to ski. I tried to snowboard. It almost killed me.
I just throw myself on the ground. Because, like, I'm a daredevil, and I want to go fast, but then I realize that I don't know how to stop.
I don't know how to go fast.
No, I know. I'm going faster than I feel comfortable with suddenly. But I don't know how to stop adeptly. So, you know, so I got to do something because I just throw myself on the ground.
Nice.
But the problem—
Duck your head.
Well, but you don't even think about that.
I know.
You just like,
if you're going to hit something—
I want to stop going at this I'm going toward the ski lodge.
Yeah.
You know, I have to stop. So I have to decelerate somehow. And the only way I can do that is if I throw myself on the snow. The problem, though, about, and, you know, the way we read the back of the labels, I get it. Okay. real time, you forget what's on the back of the label. Let's keep it real. But the other problem, too, we always talk about an athlete gets hurt when he becomes mechanical and he starts thinking. And if you become too wrapped up in the thought process of tackling properly, you might put yourself in more harm's way because you're becoming mechanical and you're getting away from what you're supposed to do.
And you're going to miss the tackle.
And then your coach is going to get on you. So there's the football aspect, and then, of course, there's the safety issue. Now, I got you. Let's get the update from Ack, see what he's got cooking. Ack, you got a good update for us today or what, Ack?
Slightly better than mediocre.
Wow. Sounds like something we have to listen to.
You know, it's like you want to win 19 games if you're a college basketball coach, because it's a pretty good season, but the expectations are somewhat low.
So this is third round of the NIT. Not
exactly.
Quite. Okay, I got you. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. We'll get more calls. Sit tight. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Hey, LeBron, not afraid to pat his own back. Who's the MVP? I am. That's what he said. Do we have a problem with it? Or do we agree? Rick Bucher's going to stop by as well, hit on the NBA. We got some baseball, third hour, and also football at the 40s. J.K. McKay, director of football ops for the new league, Alliance of American Football. But more calls on the new rule, which is going to be a big problem, as you can tell by some of the calls we've taken already. Axe update. Here's Rich coming at you right now. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We do it every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here. Here's how you do it. Get on board. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. That's our Twitter handle for the network. We have, our own for Tiki and Tierney, but at CBS Sports Radio, use the hashtag AskThePros, and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Teek and I will take the best one, and we'll answer it right before we get out of here. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Inbounds, out of bounds, coming up in a few minutes. More calls right here, 1-855-212-4227. LeBron, pat himself on the back, MVP style. Hour two, we okay with that? And baseball opens tomorrow. Give you some thoughts on the season. Speaking of baseball, it's Houston, of course, the home of the world champs until my Yankees dethrone them this year. Jerry is on Tiki and Tierney. Jerry, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Oh, not bad, guys. Hey, go ahead.
No, what do you got?
This is your stage, brother.
This is you, man. What do you got for us?
Come on now.
All right.
Come on now. Let's get it together, buddy.
All right, so fans want to see a move away from the slowdown and overanalysis, and I guess that's kind of what we keep on hearing here.
Yep.
Man, I get the need to police the injuries, but this feels like an overcorrection.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to take the injuries out of football, especially concussions. I think you can use – no, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're having a conversation with yourself here. We haven't said a word, buddy. We're listening to you. Go ahead, Jeff.
I think you're getting an echo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I was getting some feedback on my phone.
I think you're getting an echo. That's what that is. Go ahead. Plow ahead. We're listening.
Well, I think you can use fines, kind of like the ones levied against Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
As kind of a better deterrent than some heavy-handed blanket rule that's going to penalize guys that are just instinctually doing what football players do.
Well, I think that's your point is right, Jerry. Is that there's so many
who's Vontaze Burfict?
Burfict, you meant perfect. Vontaze Burfict. You know who he was talking about? Did you not?
Of course,
of course you did. You're just making fun of the kid.
Nah,
but
Vontaze Burfict.
Look, there's mechanisms to do these things already. You know what I mean? If someone does something egregious, there's a way that you penalize them.
Yeah,
you don't need to eject a kid and a player and change the nature of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the issue falls, especially from our perspective. It's just you're going to fundamentally change teams at certain points in the game,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to affect the outcome of the game, maybe even their season.
Mm-hmm. All right, this conversation falls under micro-analysis for the NFL. Individual rules, right?
Yep.
Macro, and this is where the NFL has a really big problem here. The more they try to make the game safe, the less they look like the NFL.
You're right.
And the NFL is what we fell in love with.
You're right.
And that's that line that they've got to straddle. And I don't know if there's that perfect balance, to be quite honest with you.
No,
they're trying. Give them credit. It's still a great sport.
It's a brutal sport.
And it's got to stay somewhat brutal.
I agreed.
And if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. And more importantly, if you don't want to play it, don't play it.
You're right.
Nobody's forcing you to play football, you know? Rusty's, we like Rusty. Rusty's out in the beautiful state of Montana, and he's got us up on the TV here, CBS Sports Network. Rusty, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey,
how you doing?
What's up, man? Rusty?
Good to hear from ya.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, that main word in that thing is initiate.
Yeah.
They need to check that word, initiate. That needs to be broke down a little bit because a quarterback sneak, I've never seen a quarterback sneak without a quarterback putting his head down.
Ooh, that's a really
you know,
astute
I've
point,
never
Rusty.
Seen Stinky Boo-Boo dive over the top of the pile at the 1 yard line without his head down.
Yeah, you're right. You kind of by nature, you have to put your head down.
That is funny.
That is, it's
Rusty.
So that word initiate is what I feel needs to be examined a little bit.
Rusty, that is a very, very perceptive, on your part to catch that. Because Tom Brady's made a living aside from throwing touchdowns and winning Super Bowls. Thanks for the call, man. And hopefully it's going to start, the snow's going to start thawing out there in Montana. Get out there, play a little golf, do a little fishing, whatever you do. Beautiful state, by the way. Montana's gorgeous.
I told you, I went fly fishing out there.
I know,
It's pretty amazing.
It's the essence. That whole part of the country is gorgeous.
Love Rusty. Rusty calls and act like we called him.
I know. He does that every time. But think about that. If you initiate contact, Tom Brady, up until one point, he's like 30 for 30. Got stopped, you know, like a year or so. But he never got stopped on the short yardage.
His head was down.
Head always dives forward. Right. Tackle in between tackle. So, but letter of the law.
But technically, he's not initiating contact.
He is.
He's lowering his head, but he's hoping that there's a free space, even though.
Well, I don't know that anybody's inviting contact. Anytime you lower your head, you're trying to avoid. Well,
defenders are trying to initiate contact.
Here's the problem, though. Interpretation. Nebulous.
Yeah. It's
subjective.
It's unbelievably so.
All right. You ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
Yeah, let's get to these.
Let's go. Okay, here we go there. Tinky Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was unsuccessful in getting Ezekiel Elliott's suspension overturned last season on top of spending a couple of million bucks, $2 million precisely in legal fees trying to halt Roger Goodell's contract extension. So, in his own very Jerry Jones way, he clearly feels little regret saying, okay, it took him a little bit to get to that point, but he finally concludes what we all know. The commissioner's got the hammer. So, in or out, Tiki, Jerry Jones should regret how he handled Zeke's suspension and Goodell's contract extension.
Out of bounds, man. He had a point he wanted to make, and it cost him a couple million dollars. But for a billionaire, it's okay to cost you a couple million dollars to make your point. And also, I think he demonstrated something that we've known about Jerry Jones for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He has his players back. Sometimes to detriment, as you mentioned earlier, BT. Guys will know that Jerry will go to bat for you. And, you know, Dez Bryant knows this from his personal stuff earlier on in his career. And I think that's something valuable for the players to know about their owner. So does he regret it? I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I don't think he does. But again, it's framed, should he regret it?
I don't think he should either.
Okay, just clarifying there. I think he should. I'm going to say inbounds on this. I'm going to say he should for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, he indirectly sabotaged the Cowboys season. Now, Ezekiel Elliott directly sabotaged it based on his actions. But the fact that this thing was, he was so persistent in trying to, you know, get this overturned, it hovered over the team, and I really believe it compromised their season. I've always thought that. You know that.
Yeah, I think not being there compromised their season.
No, I understand that, but if they just would have swallowed this and moved on, they would have had him back for the more important part of the season.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, I really think it compromised their season. That's the football aspect. The other aspect, just the aesthetics of it. He was tacitly defending something that's repulsive. You and I both read that police
report.
Good point. And I just think it's a bad look when you do that. And my answer is inbounds. We differ a little bit. I know you agree with, obviously, what's a bad look, of course, with violence. That goes without saying. But, yeah, I do think that he should regret the way he had. I think he was off. I think he swung and missed a few times. I love this question. This is a good one. So the Dallas Mavericks haven't won a playoff series since they won the finals back in 2011. And yesterday, future Hall of Famer Dirk Nowitzki announced he will return.
Oh, God.
Big Dirk in the house. What? How dare you throw shade at the big German stud? Come on now.
He's 40.
So what? Dirk turns 40 this summer. In or out? I think I already know your answer. The Mavericks need to move on from Dirk to truly begin the rebuild.
I'm saying inbounds, man.
Wait, inbounds or out?
Inbounds.
Wait,
they need to move on.
What?
They need to move on from Dirk. That's the question. The Mavs need to move on from Dirk to truly begin their rebuild. The answer is yes. Not that he's taking up a ridiculous amount of salary, because he's not. Mm-hmm. Not like he's playing an exorbitant amount of minutes. He's about 25 a game. But still, okay. There's players that you need to get some burn. You need to get guys out on the court. You develop Nerlens Noel. You know what I mean? Let him turn into somebody who's going to be valuable.
He's not that good.
Of course, maybe because he doesn't play enough. He's playing like 13 minutes a game because Dirk's got to be out there. I get the love for Dirk. He's the man.
He's one of the best. He's the 40, most unique scorer of all time.
40.
Mm-hmm.
40.
I understand.
40.
I understand.
He's 40.
So is Tom Brady.
40.
I understand. Listen, I obviously disagree with you. Now, my answer is out of bounds here. And I'm surprised you laid it out in a way that you could actually flip your answer. I'm going to give you a chance to flip your answer here.
Go ahead.
Because you
I'm not going to.
Yeah, I know you're not. But you hit on a couple of the key components. Number one, the money that he makes is not preventing them, salary cap-wise, mm-hmm. from getting players.
Position-wise,
That's important. Money, not an issue.
Position-wise, though.
The minutes, he's not sucking up 37 minutes a night, and he's not sucking up an incessant amount of shots. So he's not really stifling the offensive growth of somebody. The answer is out of bounds because he is their hardest worker, and he is a champion. And he unlike maybe Dez Bryant, who obviously is a lot younger, his transition to a secondary and a third role has been seamless. He's not in the way of he's not stagnating.
Okay, but he's
somebody's growth.
But he's there, and they're
he's often there for leadership and for smarts.
Then don't play. Don't play him.
He's not playing that much.
24 minutes is a lot. 25 minutes is a lot.
No,
a
it's
game.
Not. There's 197 guys averaging more minutes. I just made that number up, but it sounds right than he is in the NBA.
Hey.
He's not. The 25 minutes a night is not a lot in the NBA.
Okay.
So my answer is out of bounds.
I think he's wrong.
A champion.
Of course he's a champion.
And there's accountability. And there's value that you can't quantify. Stay as long as you want, Dirk.
Move on, Dallas.
Stay. I love Nowitzki. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge. What is this, the whole Texas theme here?
I didn't say I didn't love him.
I know you didn't. But it didn't sound like you loved him. It sounded like you can't wait to get rid of him.
He's 40.
Yeah, I know he's 40.
I didn't say that 10 times.
I got you. So Aldridge left the game last night against the Wizards, or that would be the Wizards, with an apparent knee injury. And he's going to undergo an MRI here to know the severity. So the Spurs are currently the sixth seed in the West. They've dropped two straight now. In or out, with Aldridge's injury and Kawhi already out, the Spurs should shut down both for the season.
No.
This is the dumbest question we've ever done. And start fresh next season.
I want to blame Samter so bad.
It's not Samter's fault.
I know, but
D-Cell
did these questions today.
Dumb question.
No, out of bounds. No, you never shut down. You let your guys, especially some of the old guys, there's a bunch of them on this squad, try to get one more.
Oh, this was Samter.
This was
Samter? Wait, who wrote the questions? I thought D-Cell wrote the questions.
It was a collaborative effort.
So you collaborated on the dumb one, and he wrote the four good ones.
Samter. This is a good question.
This is an idiotic question.
I wanted to give you such the benefit of the doubt.
This is a terrible question. Go ahead.
I mean, out of bounds.
It's out of bounds for me as well. But your main reason it's out of bounds is
you never concede on a season, especially when you got vets like Tony Parker and some of these other guys that could come back and win and maybe win one. They've been here before.
Well, they're not going to win anything.
Of course not. But you don't shut them down for the season.
No.
What's the point?
There is none, unless it's going to compromise their future. Which, in the case of both these players,
but
seemingly,
it's not.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. It will not. You have to, medically get the medical data, and allow your medical team to. And if they come and whatever they say supersedes Pop and everybody else, but medically. But if they're cleared, no, you don't make the decision to sit them. That creates a non-competitive culture.
Mm-hmm.
That is weak, and that is the exact opposite of Pop. That will never happen, nor should it. Out of bounds. All right, college hoops here. The Xavier Musketeers were the number one seed in the West region, but they fell in the second round to Florida State. Now, despite winning 20 more games and making the tournament in 8 of his 9 years in Ohio, former head coach Chris Mack has agreed to become the next head coach at Louisville. I told you that would happen last week. The Cards are currently embroiled in a major NCAA scandal that forced them, to vacate the 2013 national title. Inbounds or out of bounds, Louisville is a better job than Xavier.
Ultimately, yes, inbounds in the ACC. And I think eventually the stigma of this blows over. The NCAA probably is not going to come after Louisville because they've already fired their head coach. The FBI,
and their AD.
And their AD. So they've
cleaned house.
They've cleaned house.
Yep.
who knows what's going to come out of this FBI investigation any further for the Cardinals. So I'm saying, yeah, it is a better job because they can get back to being really good really quickly.
This is a tough one for me because one of my favorite venues is the Cintas Center where Xavier plays. I really, it's a great venue. Louisville plays in a pro arena, the KFC Yum Center. They've got great lineage that quite respectfully, you know, as much as I like Xavier does not quite have, you know, going back to, going back to the 30s and the 40s. I mean, it's just really long ranging. Louisville's a better job. When you say Louisville, if you call, you know, a McDonald's All-American or a five-star, I know the game's changed a little bit, but if you call up and you say, I'm the head coach of Xavier or I'm the head coach of Louisville, there's more clout, there's more juice with everybody when you say Louisville.
Yep.
And I really, really respect and like Xavier, but the answer is Louisville. So I just threw out a number. I said 197 players have averaged more minutes than Dirk this year. And Santhor actually did that. What is it, 140? 140, basically. 138.
That's
there you go.
That's 50 players.
Hey, listen, man. I was close. Don't be throwing that shade my way.
He's
like you threw it at
40.
There's
no trash can.
Yeah, where is it? Oh, there is none today. Hour two. Hey, LeBron saying he's the MVP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.